Oh, okay. There's a lot of people. She was right about that. Hi, everyone. I'm Kendall, and I am an alcoholic. Thank you to Karen and Dareth for asking us to speak. This is an amazing opportunity. Thank you to everyone that showed up to support us. This is crazy awesome. Welcome to the newcomers. I'm glad you guys are here. And I'm a grateful alcoholic today, actually. I didn't understand when people said grateful alcoholic. I was like, what's so great about being an alcoholic? Dang it. I was so mad that I was sober. I was so mad that I got to that point of saying I'm an alcoholic and that I was in these rooms and that I actually made it here because she has been saving a seat for me probably since the day I was born. But today I'm a grateful alcoholic. It's one of the best things that ever happened to me because it brought me to all of you. And this fellowship and this program has given me more than I could ask for. My sobriety date is January 6th of 2024. My home group is the Orchid Goes to Any Length groups as well. It's actually a women's meeting that we hold in our home, so it's my actual home group. I'm very nervous, so please bear with me. This is my second time behind a podium. I'm normally on the other side selecting speakers to speak for me. I'm never the speaker. So this could be a little rough, but I'm letting God speak through me, and what will be revealed will be revealed. What it was like, I am convinced that I was just always going to be an alcoholic. They explained my birth as me popping out like a champagne cork. And if they didn't know, like, this girl's going to be an alcoholic, I don't know what else would have told them. I was also that type of alcoholic that should have never picked up a drink. I tried to outthink the disease, knowing that I have two alcoholic addict parents. I've been surrounded by addiction and alcoholism my entire life, and I thought that I wasn't going to be one because I wasn't going to be like my parents. So I followed that straight road until I was 18. Made it last, never did anything, never touched anything, and I honestly can't tell you the exact moment or why I decided to drink. But I decided that day at 18 that I was going to drink, and I blacked out the first time I drank. It was balls to the wall, all bets off. I was chugging a handle, and it was gonna take me out. And every single time I drank to blackout. It was never that cutesy little girl, like, oh, drinky drink. No, it was 15 shots in a row trying to fight a 6'4 grown man, and like, why do I feel like this? You know, why is everyone mad at me? I thought that people just had a problem with my drinking, but I didn't have a drinking problem. They just couldn't handle how fun and exciting and like never knowing what's going to happen, you know, let's keep it fun. And I just drank for all the wrong reasons. Sad drink, happy drink, bored drink, anything was an excuse for me to drink. And I made sure I got that drink. I drank not for a very long period of time. It was actually only 8 years, but I went full force in those 8 years. I have done so much bad stuff in my life, and when the alcohol stopped working, drugs are also a part of my story. When alcohol stopped doing what it was supposed to do for me, that's when I went to the other stuff. But alcohol was always that constant for me. I could knock the other stuff off whenever I wanted to, but I couldn't go without that drink ever in my life. The first thing I would do when I woke up in the morning was drink. That was my first thought, waking up at 7 a.m. Oh, when can I drink, you know? And I would just do anything and hurt anyone to get that drink. That's all I cared about was me. I have two active DUI crashes. Both times I totaled my car and I should not have walked away. I shouldn't have lived. And my goal when I drank and when I used was to not live. I was trying to die. I was never brave enough to physically hurt myself. So I used substance abuse as a way to hurt myself. Because that was braver to me, you know? Both of my crashes, I walked away with minimal injuries, and I didn't understand why. I got a little slap on the wrist from the courts, had to do two separate programs. I did a 3-month program and an 18-month program. I had to legally do 2 years of jail time, and to get out of that, I convinced them to let me go on house arrest for 1 month, and that, you know, equaled each other. Mind you, I was drinking throughout my entire house arrest. And the moment I finished my other program, I was going to get a third DUI. If I was able to drive and I had my license and I was legally allowed to drive, I would have gone out and done the same exact thing. Thankfully, I did not hurt anyone. Both of the times that I crashed, I was the only car involved. I was the only one that got minimally hurt. But if I did it that third time, like, who's to say my luck would be that same, you know? And I couldn't live with myself if I hurt someone else. I physically just could not do it. And when I walked away from both those crashes, I was so naive. And I would just say, oh, I'm just lucky. You know, I'm a cat with 9 lives. It's not my time to go yet. Because there had been so many occasions where I had overdone it, like past the limit, and woke up in my bed the next day. And I was just gonna do it all over again. The only prayers I ever said were crying in my mom's bed, begging God to take away how messed up I was from the substances. And I promised I would never do it again. And guess who was doing the same thing? The immediate next day. Like my wonderful mother had said, we didn't live with her for a lot of my childhood. I was raised by my aunt and uncle. However, they showed me the glorified side of alcoholism. They were alcoholics as well, but they never got in trouble. It didn't bring any negativity to their life. So I saw I wasn't with my mom and that negative side. And then I saw, oh, like, this could be fun too. So I think when I took my first drink, I wasn't sure how it was gonna affect me. And it, of course, affected me in the bad way, you know? I was never that normie. And I made a lot of, I know we all make bad choices when we're in that state of mind. We never consider how it's going to hurt other people, but I had made a really tough decision that I didn't think I'd ever have to make, because I was convinced that if I ever was in this type of situation, that I'd be able to stop drinking. My boyfriend and I weren't being careful, and I got pregnant. And I've wanted to be a mom for my entire life. Since I was a child, I've wanted to be a mom, and I've nannied and babysat since I was 10 years old. Like, that's what I was meant to be. And when I found out, I drank more. I, like, physically don't know what came over me, but even for a situation that I wanted for my entire life, like, I could not put down that drink. It was attached to me. And it talks about it in our book that, like, the drink takes us. We sometimes don't have that choice over the first drink, you know? It is a disease. I am bodily and mentally different from my fellows. But I thankfully have met some people who kind of relate to me. How much time do I have?
You're doing great. You're doing great.
You still got 15 minutes.
Okay, so that was like what it was like, what happened. Okay, what happened? So I was drinking to die, ideally. And every day waking up and not being dead was frustrating. I was like, what the heck, you know? And it was to the point towards the end of my alcoholism that I was drinking all day, every single day. I had a job, a really good job. Mind you, I could drink at said job. So my first thought, I would wake up at 8 a.m. I would go to the liquor store on the way to work on my little shoulder legs because I couldn't drive and it was down the road. Stop by the liquor store, grab 4 shooters, go to my work, drink the shooters before I clocked into work, drank 4 bottles of wine in my office at work, and then took 3 bottles home and drank them in my room by myself. I was living in my sober parents' home, and their one condition of me living there was, you have to be sober. And I'm like, yeah, I got this, you know? Like, I am sober, whatever you guys want. And I just thought I was fooling them, like, completely. Not realizing they're literally alcoholics. They know. Anyway. And I thought I was so sly. There's bottles clinking as I'm, like, running up the stairs. It's 5 p.m. They pick me up because I don't want to walk home. And I'm shmammered, shit-faced. And I just, like, who did I think I was fooling? The only one I was fooling was myself, actually, because I thought that was normal functioning behavior. And I would say I was a functioning alcoholic. If I was going to call myself an alcoholic, I was out in functioning in front of that because I still had my job. That was the only thing that made me functioning. But I had to be drunk to get through my job. My last drunk was my, like, aha moment, I guess you would say. Nothing specifically happened. I was safe in the comfort of my own home. But I just had a feeling that was going to be my last. Like, I was not going to be able to drink again. I was going to die from said drunk. And that scared me. I had a little sliver of hope in me that didn't want that to actually happen. And I went to the only person that I knew could help me. My lovely mom over there. I also forgot to say I grew up in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been going to meetings since I was this big. So I knew where to come. I just, until you're ready, you know, you can't make someone get it. You can't shake it into them. And they tried. I go to my mom and I sit her down, which I've done a million and one times. She could have laughed in my face. And my first God shot was, I said, Mom, I concede to my innermost self that I'm an alcoholic. And I never opened a big book ever in my life. Ever. And to see her face when I said that, like, she'd been waiting for that her entire life. When she says we are exactly the same, we are exactly the same. And she's been saving me a seat for a long time. And from that moment, I have not looked back. I went to a meeting the next day. I went both feet in, and I decided that the amount of time and energy I put into drinking is how much I needed to put into my recovery. I didn't know at the time how much work it was gonna take for me to be sober. I really didn't. I didn't know what I was getting into. I thought I was just gonna be sober, you know, and like, I'm just not drinking anymore. I had no idea the feelings that were also gonna come because I numbed those for so long. And I was completely rewiring my brain and learning who I was all over again. And it's beautiful, but it was terrifying. And today, someone who couldn't stay sober for literally an hour, I have a year and 4 months sober. And I am, and it is just beautiful and magical, and this program has given me everything that I've ever wanted and more. But I did the work to get to this place today. Our promises say they will always materialize if we work for them. And that does ring true. It takes a lot of inner work on our parts, as most of you know. And I am so glad I decided to do that work. My very first sponsor, I love her and wish her the best. She shouldn't have taken me on as a sponsee. And while working my steps, I missed very vital, important parts in my steps. And I wasn't aware of that at the time. I was terrified to let her go because I did not want to hurt her feelings. And my parents had made me aware that, yeah, I get that, but like, this is your sobriety that's being affected. So I went on a different path. I now have a new sponsor. She's wonderful, lots of sobriety, and I'm reworking my steps completely. And I'm making sure that I do not miss anything in those steps. And if I'm irritable, discontent, any of that negativity, I know that I missed something, and I know that I can go back and rework any of those steps and see where I went wrong. And today, my life is beautiful. It's amazing. I'm happy. For the first time in my life, I love myself, and I believe I have a purpose. I have a wonderful relationship with God that I did not have before, even remotely. And I'm grateful I can believe in him now, because he was always believing in me and protecting me. And my decisions and substance abuse was standing in the middle of the relationship that we could have. And this program, an act of God brought me into this program, and this program brought me back to my belief in God. And I wouldn't trade my sobriety for anything. I have a wonderful relationship with my family, and my family in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. The fellowship is one of my favorite things about sobriety, honestly. And my wonderful sponsee is here supporting me tonight. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful that I'm able to talk and share with you guys. And I'm grateful that you guys wanted to listen. I don't know how much time is that.
You're good.
Okay. That was amazing. That was all.